Hey guys, it's Candace.
And it's Elena.
And this is Cousins on Crime.
Pissed off than pissed on. You know, don't mind me.
I'm putting that in there. Ooh, Lena.
What you got for me?
Have I got a case for you today? I'm actually wondering if you've heard this case because it happened in Benbrook, Texas.
Ooh.
I've never heard of it. So, for this episode, I'm taking y'all back to Texas, like I just said, for some really good Mexican food, some blistering heat, you know, like the kind of heat where you breathe in and your lungs catch on fire. And there will be murder. There's going to be some love and heartbreak, sex and betrayal, and murder.
Oh, okay.
So, this is such a wild case, and I can't even believe that I've never heard of it living so close to where it happened. You're going to get whiplash from this one.
Oh.
And just so y'all know, like, Lena and I grew up going to Benbrook. Our aunt and uncle lived there, and we would spend a lot of Christmases and Thanksgivings there. So, this is like very familiar territory to us. So let's get cracking, shall we?
Let's do it.
Where do I begin? Let's start with this married couple named Latrill and Johnny Patton. Do you know this name?
No.
Okay, well, like I said, they lived in Benbrook, Texas, with their two grown sons, Jason and Chip, and they had been together for approaching 40 years. Johnny was the CEO of his own oil and gas company, so they were doing pretty well for themselves. If you know anything about oil and gas in Texas, that's big money right there.
Right.
Their son Jason was dating a girl named Catherine, who had been a family friend of theirs since childhood. Jason's mom and her mom were really close friends for many years, and Catherine also came from...
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
Catherine also came from a well-to-do family. Her grandfather actually co-founded the eye brand Alcon.
Okay.
You know that name, Lena?
Yeah, like eye drops.
Yeah, eye drops, contact lenses, etc. So she also came from money. And Catherine had been infatuated with Jason since she was a little girl, because like I said, they grew up together. So finally, when she, got him and they started dating in young adulthood, of course she was stoked. Well, pretty soon she was pregnant and they were living together and raising their daughter, and things were great for her for a while. And Jason, he wasn't so content. He got involved with the wrong people, as they say, and he really made a mess of himself, and Catherine did not appreciate his immature behavior. They had a young child together, like I said, and what's worse than having a partner that does drugs and gets into trouble? Having a child with someone who does drugs and gets into trouble.
Oh, man.
And, you know, she came from, like I said, a really good, prestigious family, and this was just, like, beneath her. So she was like, no. Jason was in and out of trouble, in and out of jail, and they ended up breaking up. Catherine ended up meeting an older man, Richard Slatkin. When I say older, I mean older.
Oh.
Yeah, she was 26 and he was 62.
What?
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Even though he could have been her dad, she was really happy with Richard. Look, who am I to judge? It's not my sort of thing.
Right.
Not my business. Right. But, and you know, because he was older, he was established, he had all his ducks in a row. He was actually a private investigator and he was really successful at it. Well, she ended up getting pregnant with Richard's child.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
There's the first whiplash. Well, maybe not the first, but.
So they got married, actually. She felt like he was a good match for her. You know, they were going to have a child together, and things were really good for them for a while. You know, she, when you come from a higher class of family, your family expects more from you, right? As a child.
Right.
They're going to hold you to a higher standard. So she felt in Richard, she had found stability, good money, and such. So they got married. Things were really good. They lived in a beautiful home and they were raising their daughter and her daughter that she had shared with Jason.
Had Richard had any other kids or previous marriage?
No.
Oh, okay.
I actually don't know about that. I never saw any information about him having a previous,
family,
children from another relationship. They really just talked about his and Catherine's child. So, during this time, they were married for about 4 years. She saw Jason still because he obviously came to pick up their daughter and things were cordial. And he was actually cleaning up his life. He was doing really well. He was out of prison and, you know, he stopped hanging around with his bad crowd that he was with. And things were going really well. Everything was cordial. Well, Catherine and Jason weren't just getting along, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I kind of saw this one coming.
Are you picking up what I'm putting down?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Catherine's love for Jason ran really deep. You have to remember, she fancied him all her life.
First love.
Exactly. So she sees him doing better and cleaning himself up and all of a sudden, he's that guy that she fell in love with, you know, all those years ago. So she hopped back in the sack with Jason while she was still married to Richard.
Oh, man.
This girl can't keep it in her pants, I swear.
Keep it.
Well, Lena, can you guess what happened next?
She got pregnant.
She got pregnant with Jason's child again. Yeah, these are the people that get pregnant, you know, right away.
Uh-huh.
Not people who actually deserve children. Richard was like, you know what? I don't appreciate that.
Yeah.
So they split up.
I wonder if, like, she told him, like, hey, this is Jason's baby, or, like, how did he know it was Jason's baby?
You know, that's a good question. I didn't come across any type of, like, question about paternity, but she, I'm sure she knew that it was Jason's, and she probably knew, because, I mean,
maybe they weren't having sexual relations themselves.
Well, yeah, and, like, she was cheating on her husband, so I'm not sure how often she was having sex with her husband if she was sleeping with someone else, you know? So Richard moved out, and Jason moved in. just kind of like nothing ever happened. Her and Jason were back together. Catherine and Richard divorced in 2012. And things were, I never said what year this took place, did I? Well, doesn't really matter. I'm not going to.
Yeah, you already said 2012 just now. You can go from there.
Mm-hmm. Catherine and Richard divorced in 2012. Things were good with Jason for a bit.
For a bit. Okay.
This is where the whiplash comes in. It's just like back and forth. So they lived together in this house that she had shared with Richard like 2 seconds ago, and there are two kids. And her child with Richard also lived with them as well. Richard would come by and get his daughter, and even though Catherine had cheated on him, they remained very good friends. Jason did not like this at all. He didn't like Richard because he was still flirty with Catherine, and being a PI, he was, you know, Richard was really confident, kind of rough around the edges. He was very outspoken and, you know, a little bit in your face.
So it's okay for him to take Richard's wife, but how dare Richard for coming, you know, flirting with her. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. After some time, Jason started putting himself back into some of the old situations with the same people from his past. He was trying to cope with his anger and jealousy with the whole Richard and Catherine thing in all the wrong ways.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't like how friendly they still were together. I guess he just wanted them to be enemies or something.
Yeah.
Late one night, he ended up having a car accident while under the influence, and that landed him back on the inside. And it wasn't just going to be a slap on the wrist this time. Catherine was so hurt by this.
Mm.
She thought that her and Jason were finally going to have their happily ever after. And now this happens. So she found herself alone with 3 kids. But she wasn't without help by any means. She had her family and she had Richard helping with their daughter.
Okay.
And she also leaned on Jason's parents quite a bit during this time. Remember, she'd known them her whole life, mm-hmm. so they were family to her. And they were family because they were the grandparents of 2 of her children.
Right.
So she spent a lot of time at their house, and pretty soon things took a really cringy turn.
Uh-oh.
Chip, Jason's brother, tried to stay out of all of this back and forth with his brother and Catherine and Richard and the kids. He was just kind of like on the outskirts watching everything get all tangled and mucked up.
Mm-hmm.
This mess had been going on for years, you know?
Oh,
now
right.
His brother was back in jail. Things were falling apart with his parents. His dad had grown really distant from his mom and was acting really strange. Johnny was no model husband by any means, but lately his behavior had grown really outrageous. Like, he was moody, he was secretive, he was just making everybody really uncomfortable.
Mm.
Latrell, Johnny's wife, had told her son, Chip, that Johnny had multiple cell phones.
What?
And when he'd hear her coming down the hallway, he'd suddenly Mm-mm. get off the phone and, like, hide the cell phone. And she knew he had these multiple phones because every time she saw a cell phone, it was, like, different. So he was just acting super shady. And like most women do, she suspected he was probably having
right.
an affair.
That's what I would think.
That's what I would think, too. What other reason could there be for all the sneaking around? Latrell was so over it, and when Johnny said he wanted a divorce, she could not find a pen fast
oh, wow.
enough to sign those divorce papers. She was like,
right.
bye. And I'm sure this divorce had been coming for a really long time. You know, in those families that, you know, they had been together 40 years, they had a lot of money, a lot of assets. She probably stayed with him a lot longer than she mm-hmm. wanted to because she knew it would be messy. Her life would be very different, but she was like relieved that this was coming to an end. So Chip tried to be there for his mom during the divorce and like a really rough time for
right.
the family. They stayed in contact with Jason while he was locked up. In fact, Jason called Chip one day and he was like, have you seen or heard from Catherine? Like, she's not answering my calls and I'm trying to check on her and see how the kids are doing. And also, they're transferring me to a rehab facility. And Chip was like, oh, cool, yeah. Yeah, I see her and the kids, and they're good. But I'll tell her you called and that you're trying to get a hold of her. I gotta really see your face on this part. One day, Chip's driving home, and he pulls up to a four-way stop. He glances over at the other car that stopped there, and he sees his dad at the stop sign, with Catherine in the passenger seat, and she's stroking his hair.
What?
That's right.
No.
Chip was just sitting there, like, ew.
Oh, yeah, ew.
Ew. And Johnny saw Chip see him, and he kind of probably crapped his pants. I'm just thinking.
Yeah, like, what are you going to do?
Maybe he did a little.
Caught red-handed.
Caught. I mean, I've never been in that situation, but if I was an old man sleeping with my son's girlfriend and the mother of my two grandkids, I'd probably poop my pants if I got caught. You know? So Chip went straight to his mama about this. He's like, did you know this was going on? Because he's thinking, well, maybe this is why they're getting a divorce. Like,
it's all Catherine's fault.
Maybe she has known. Yeah. So she had no idea. And they were both just like, bleh, right. You know, sick about this. Like, gross. Turns out Catherine had been sleeping with Johnny before Jason went back to jail.
What?
Yeah, so she was cheating on Jason for months with his dad.
How does this happen? Self-control, I told you. People.
This girl can't keep it in her pants, I'm telling you. Chip and his mom were like, we cannot tell Jason. Like, he's in rehab.
Oh my gosh.
We can't disturb the progress that he's making, you know, he's in there trying to get right, and this is gonna kill him. And you know what? No one wants to find out that their dad is shacked up with their girlfriend and, like, fathering their own children over the phone. So they keep this from Jason. They still talk to him. And at this point, it was, you know, out in the open. Johnny's sister knew about it and was like sick. And Johnny was a royal jerk and called up his son in rehab and said, hey bud, I'm nailing your girlfriend. And that's how Jason found out.
Like, did he think he was just getting it off his chest? Did he think it would help the situation? Or was he just wanted his son to feel bad?
I think a little bit of all of it. I think he was trying to tell Jason before anyone else had the chance to, but no one had. And I also think he was just being a jerk because he was that type of guy. He was, you know, hothead, just a jerk.
Wow.
So Jason's head probably exploded at that point.
Right.
So now really everyone knew, including Jason. So they stopped sneaking around about it. They were just kind of out in the open.
Out in the open.
Mm-hmm. And during the divorce and separation and all that, he was staying with Catherine. Johnny was staying with Catherine. You know, the house she shared with her ex-husband Richard, like, 2 seconds ago. And then, like, his son 2 seconds ago.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I even read one report that they got engaged.
Okay.
I don't know if that was true or not, but just like Johnny's son, Jason, Johnny also didn't get along with Richard, the ex-husband. Except Richard and Johnny, it was like another level. Richard was at least cordial with Jason, like when he saw him, but Richard hated Johnny. Yeah. Hated Johnny.
I'm sure he did.
I mean, they were like the same age, you know? The report about Johnny and Catherine being engaged kind of insinuated that the engagement is what really set things off between Richard and Johnny, because Richard was like, yo, Catherine, are you for real? Like, seriously? Yeah. And like I said, Johnny was a hothead. He was arrogant. He was jealous. He was outspoken. And he knew how to push Richard's bush. But he knew how to put... And he knew how to push Richard's buttons bad. And Richard gave it back to him pretty good. So they fought constantly when they encountered each other. And it, you know, and they had to see each other all the time because Catherine shared a daughter, a young daughter, with Richard. I think she was about 4 at this point, or 5. And it got to the point where they started threatening each other, like a couple of 10-year-old boys on the playground. Like, I'm going to get you. Well, I'm not if I get you first. You know, it was bad. I mean, it was stupid. It was immature behavior. And the whole family knew what was going on. They just thought it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, Johnny would listen in on Catherine and Richard's phone calls. So one night he hears, and listen, I don't blame him because this girl
has a history,
is willing to hop in the sack with just about anybody. You know what I mean? She just can't be trusted. So I would probably listen in on her phone calls too. Anywho, they were speaking about Richard coming by the house to pick up a washer and dryer that he had left there when he moved out. And he was going to come by the next day. So they arranged for him to come by while Catherine was gone. And Richard said, Johnny better not be there when I get there, or I'll beat his ass.
No.
Sorry, Mom. I'm just reporting the news. Okay. That's just a quote.
It's a quote.
I'm sure Catherine like rolled her eyes at this and just brushed it off. Because this constant bickering back and forth was probably getting really old. But Johnny went to the police about this. He told them what was going on. He said, Richard's threatening me.
No.
He said, look, every time I see this guy, and he comes around, he threatens to kill me. And last night I heard him on the phone. He told my girlfriend he was going to kill me.
Oh my gosh.
The police were like, okay. So they took a statement. They asked him questions, and there really didn't seem to be much to go on. You got these threats. There was no real incident that they could document. Like, nothing physical had happened, so there were just these empty threats with nothing to back it up. And they ended up speaking with Catherine and getting a statement from her, too, because Johnny named her and said, you know, he said this in front of Catherine. So they're like, okay, we need to speak with her. So they speak with Catherine, and she's like, no, Richard just threatened to beat up Johnny. Okay, it wasn't that serious. So they're like, okay, call us if anything happens. And Johnny was like, okay, and he left. I tell you what, if someone was threatening my life, I wouldn't just walk out of the police station.
Right.
If I really felt that somebody was threatening my life, I would be like, do y'all have a place I can chill here for a while and ride this out? You know, I would not be.
Can somebody come sit in front of my house?
I wouldn't just
keep
leave
watch.
The police station when they told me, oh, there's nothing we can do. So it just kind of shows you the mindset of Johnny. Did he really feel threatened?
Right.
We'll see. So on the afternoon of October 1st, 2013, Richard called Catherine and said, hey, I'm here to get my washer and dryer. I brought my two buddies with me. And your gate's closed. Like, we can't get in. She had a gate at the end of her driveway, and they couldn't get up the driveway.
Hmm.
And Catherine was at the hair salon getting her hair done. And so she had to leave, go home, let him through the gate. And then she headed back to the hair salon while they were loading up the washer and dryer. She gets back in the chair, she's getting her hair finished, and Johnny calls. And she's talking to him, and's like, oh yeah, I got back to the salon just a second ago, I had to go let Richard through the gate. Well, Johnny lost his mind.
Oh no.
Why? I don't know. He heard their conversation the night before. He knew he was going over there. So he hangs up, and he headed to Catherine's house. I don't know really what Catherine did at this point. It doesn't really say if she left immediately or if she stayed and got her hair finished. But if I know Catherine, she stayed and got her hair finished. Richard and his two friends had just finished loading the washer and dryer when Johnny pulls up. Oh, brother. Johnny called 911 to report that Richard was, quote, coming up here to kill me, end quote. He kept repeating that. He's going to kill me. He's going to kill me. And when the operator asked him for more detail, he wasn't giving her much to go on. She was like, you know, where are you? Who are you talking about? Do they have a gun? And he just kind of kept repeating the same things. And after some back and forth with Johnny, the dispatcher heard a gunshot and then nothing.
Oh, no.
She's like, hello? She got no response. Catherine arrives back home with her fresh dew, partially fresh, who knows?
Right.
And sees this big commotion at her house. There's police, there's tape. So she calls up Debbie Patton Bearden, which she is Johnny's sister.
Okay.
Jason's aunt. And said, the police are out front my house. Like, they won't let me through the yellow tape. They've roped off my driveway. And if you're wondering why she called Debbie, because I was wondering that too.
Yeah.
Like, why did she call Debbie? Debbie, like I said, was Johnny's sister. And she'd known Catherine since she was a baby. Debbie was like an aunt to her.
Okay.
And they were very close. Like, since she was little, she would call her about relationship issues and all sorts of stuff. And Debbie wasn't happy that she was dating Johnny, her brother, because she thought
it
was gross.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, they remained close. So she was the first person she called that day. So Debbie's like, I'm getting in my car, I'm on my way. So when she got there, just as Catherine had described, it was all roped off, police everywhere. And then she sees a body laying in the driveway.
Oh, no.
And she was interviewed for a documentary on Oxygen. And she said she plowed through that barricade and it took four officers to stop her from running towards that body.
She's
asking them, is that my brother? Because Johnny had been telling everybody, Richard's threatening to kill me. You know, he's going to kill me one of these days. So
yeah.
Debbie knew eventually something was going to boil over and happen. Like, it wasn't going to end well.
It's inevitable.
But when she kind of looked over, she saw her brother sitting in the back of a police car.
Oh, gosh.
So she was like, okay, he's fine. So the body on the ground was that of Richard Slacken. He had been shot once in the chest, and he died on the scene.
Oh, my gosh.
Johnny was ranting and raving, still just going on and on, telling all the police officers that would listen to him, this was self-defense, he was going to kill me, I had to kill him first. One police officer said that he said, quote, I had to pull the trigger. And they found two firearms on Johnny's person.
So he went there looking for a fight.
Of course. And Johnny was arrested. they were like, no, not self-defense. So he was indicted just months later in December of 2013. And he shockingly pled not guilty. he was released on just $25,000 bail. And again,
what?
Like,
for taking
you know,
a life. Okay.
Exactly. You know, we talked about Colin Davis. Like, why wouldn't they? I'm sure they have protocols and stuff, like how they set the bail. But, like, try to get more money out of him. He's a millionaire. If you're wondering if Catherine stayed with him after this, nah, she didn't. She was done with him. He'd served his purpose. He entertained her for long enough. She didn't get a child out of him, sadly. You know, she likes to collect kids from different guys. And now that he was going to stand trial for murder, she was a little put off by that. I mean, this just didn't jive with her status, you know, in the community.
It's all about the choices you make, baby.
Oh, no, honey, girl. Precious. Johnny's trial, of course, went like you probably think it did. The defense tried the good old-fashioned self-defense strategy. Johnny said that his life was being threatened, and he knew that it was him or Richard. He would have been shot if he didn't take action first. There's just a little problem with this claim. More like a really big problem, actually, because the very thing that Johnny said that would prove this was self-defense might be the very thing that would become his undoing, and that was the 911 call.
Okay.
Johnny did call 911 to report that he feared for his life. You know, I told you about how the dispatcher heard a gunshot, but he didn't just call 911 moments before shooting Richard. He had actually called several times that morning as well.
What?
He was setting the stage for what was going to occur. Moreover, when he made that final 911 call, when the dispatcher heard the gunshot,
right,
you can hear that he's in the car driving at the beginning of the call.
Wow.
So he wasn't even in Richard's presence when he called to report that his life was supposedly in danger. That's why he was going, he's going to kill me, he's going to kill me. And he wasn't actually answering her questions like where he was, who was going to kill him, you know, did they have a gun? He wasn't answering those questions because he wasn't even there. He was just trying to fill the gap of time before he arrived at Catherine's house. And I actually tried to find this 911 call and I couldn't find it.
He thought he was so smart.
Yeah, he did think that. He knew that he was going to go there and do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's premeditation, my friend.
Absolutely.
It wasn't just heat of the moment thing. That probably would have been more believable if he would have said it was the heat of the moment and he didn't actually call 911 and do it the way he did. He might have been believed.
Right.
Also, when the dispatcher asked him if the person threatening him had a weapon, Johnny was heard saying, I don't know what he had on him. Like, in the past tense. And also, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
Strange.
If someone's trying to kill you, you might know what weapon they have.
Well, right. If you were even there. If you weren't in your car driving.
Exactly.
Then maybe you could see. Yeah. So witnesses at the scene testified that Richard was not carrying his weapon that day, and he wasn't going to shoot Johnny at all. Remember, Richard had two friends with him. And they also stated that if Richard had had his gun on him that day, it probably wouldn't have mattered much because Johnny literally got out of his car and shot Richard. Like, got out of his car and shot Richard.
Right.
And that can be confirmed from the 911 call. And I mentioned before they found two guns on Johnny at the scene. Want to hear my theory?
Yes.
So I think Johnny was not expecting Richard to be there with other people. I think he was expecting Richard to be there by himself.
Oh.
And I think he took two guns to maybe plant one on Richard to make it look like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
Richard
yeah.
was gonna shoot him and he shot him first. And I don't think he expected eyewitnesses there to tell a different story.
That's the only
reason I can think of why he may have had two guns that day on him.
Unless he was just planning to have some kind of big shootout.
Shootout? Yeah.
But
Could have been.
I wonder if Catherine, like, whenever Johnny called her and she said, oh, I went to let Richard in, like, did she say he had a couple guys with him, he had some friends with him, like...
You know?
Or maybe she didn't. Maybe she just said, I just went and let him in and went back to the salon.
Yeah. Maybe she didn't specify, or maybe she did, and he was like, okay, I'm gonna take two guns.
I need two guns for this. Yeah.
Yeah. And just in case, you know, he got into a shootout. Good question. That would be interesting to know. Well, Johnny's ex-wife testified at the trial that Johnny owned many guns, so she wasn't really surprised he was carrying two guns that day. And he had actually threatened to kill her once. He put a gun in her face, and on another occasion, he struck her in the face with a gun.
Wow.
She said he was a loose cannon, and he was bound to do something like this someday. Like, she just wasn't surprised. Well, the jury was unimpressed with the defense's claim of self-defense, and they convicted him of murder and sentenced him to life in prison. He's actually eligible for parole in November of 2045, so yikes.
Yeah. So that would mean he would only be serving, like, what, 30 years?
Again, 20? Math is 30? Just yeah. Not...
Here we go with math again. Sorry, I don't even know why I try.
2015 was when he went to prison, so, yeah, about 30 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, who knows? I know he filed an appeal, and it was denied, which I read the appeal. I can't remember what was in the appeal. I should have written it. Yeah. Should have written it down, but... Yeah, I just, like, I didn't write the appeal down because it's so stupid. He's not going to get, yeah. He's not going to get out of prison. There's just nothing he can say. And, you know, to the point of Latrell saying that she expected something like this to happen, Johnny's sister, Debbie, she blames this whole thing on Catherine. She says, look, I know what my brother did that day. I know he shot and killed a man, but none of this would have happened if it weren't for Catherine.
I mean, she is a yeah. puzzle piece, but she's not she the is. Whole piece.
Yeah.
She's not the whole puzzle.
I mean, she created quite a mess.
She did, but I mean, Johnny has his own decisions to make.
Exactly. He's an adult. Right. Let's not forget he... is an adult. he is too old to be, you know, doing this kind of stuff.
Right.
Just bickering.
But yes, but yes. Catherine yeah, it was had just definitely made a mess. And
yeah, Debbie told Catherine, quote, "I've never been more disappointed in you in my entire life, and our friendship is over.
Mm.
I hope you remember this day. And I hope that you remember the day you saw Richard lying in the street. And I hope you remember what you've done to my brother. And I hope you remember what you've done to your little girls."
Right.
And Debbie never spoke to her again. I think it's uncalled for to bring the kids into it. But look, Catherine made a mess. But again, Johnny needs to control his anger, because I really believe if he hadn't killed Richard, he would have killed somebody else someday. He was just a loose cannon.
Well, and for your ex-wife, someone who you were with for 40 years, to say something like that as well, I mean, it does say a lot.
He was violent. He just never actually took it to this level before.
Mm.
So, Catherine is reportedly married and moved on. Jason got out of prison and apparently moved on. But it's just a mess. Like, what a waste. What a waste of life. Yeah. All because men were getting bent out of shape over a woman who couldn't make up her mind.
Right.
So, who, just...
always searching for better and for what?
I know. She had no loyalty... no sense of right and wrong. Anyway, just terrible. Yeah. Rest in peace, Richard. I mean, you didn't deserve it. And that's it.
That's sad that had to happen. Yes, rest in peace, Richard.
Yes, I can't believe I never heard about this mess.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So close to home, right? Yeah. It is. 2013, I mean, what was I doing?
I mean, I lived in Texas in 2013, yeah. So this, I feel like this would have been on the news. it probably was.
I don't watch the news, though, so.
Yeah, true.
Well, thanks for researching that for us and giving us the deets.
Yeah, I mean, what'd you think about that? Did you think that you were listening to an audiobook of like a terrible Lifetime movie?
Or a soap opera, you know, a like One Life to Live.
It, as I'm researching this, I'm like, what? Like, this sounds, what? This is real? This isn't like some fake, terrible, made up story.
Right. Who's the author of this book?
I know. That's the thing. You couldn't write something like this because nobody would buy it. Nobody would buy into this.
Right.
So, thanks for hanging in there for this one. I hope, you know, I had to use everybody's names like over and over again because I couldn't say he, because you wouldn't know who I was talking about.
Yeah.
We don't know. Tell us who she's in the sack with this time. So
tangled webs.
Oh, what tangled webs we weave.
She weaved one, all right.
You know what we should do? We should come up with an ending to our podcast.
We need to. We'll work on that, guys.
Yeah. And until then, we'll just awkwardly be like, okay, bye.
Follow us on Instagram.
See you later. You know the episode of Friends where Chandler Bing doesn't want to date Joanne ever again?
Yeah.
But he keeps saying, this was great. We should do it again sometime. He can't tell her, I don't want to see you anymore.
Yeah.
This is great. We should do it again sometime. Hey, maybe that should be our ending. Well, this was great. We should do it again sometime.
See you next week.
All right, guys. Check us out on Instagram. I'm going to be posting pictures of all the parties involved. And check us out on Facebook, where we also post, if you live there. And slide into our email at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.
Gmail.
At Gmail.
Gmail.
Okay, this is great. We should do it again sometime.
Yeah, okay. Let's do it.
Bye, guys.
Bye.